Welcome to another episode of Jackson's American Tales, ordinary people with extraordinary life stories. And I am sitting across from someone who I think is pretty extraordinary. Mama Award winner, Alzheimer's advocate, singer, songwriter, radio show co-host, and I'm sure there's 5 or 9 other things in there. The wonderful purple Karen Wheelock. Did I say your name correctly?
You did say my name correctly.
Okay, I always ask that because I'm terrible with pronunciation on names.
Well, thank you for asking, yes.
So let's get right into it. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Delavan, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Is that
the Dells?
No, it's between Lake Geneva and Janesville.
Oh,
okay. So it's about an hour southeast drive from here in Madison.
Okay. So What kind of kid were you? Were you an artsy kid? Because you seem kind of artsy-fartsy.
I am.
A little bit. Were you the weird kid? What were you like?
Kind of a little bit of both. I actually grew up on a farm. So I've been working my whole life, I should say, I guess, in a way. Learned very young how to do chores and everything like that. And would unload an entire wagon of hay for a Coke.
Nice. You earned that.
My dad had it. I don't know how he bribed me into that. But I was actually very, very shy when I was little. I didn't really start talking to other people until probably high school.
Really?
I was extremely shy, yeah. I think I took the don't talk to strangers thing a little too seriously or something. I don't know why, but I was very shy. But then I got into like theater and I always liked performing. So I was like dancing growing up and singing. I actually grew up clog dancing.
Say what now? Like wooden shoes, clog dancing? Is that right?
We didn't use wooden shoes, but
wait a minute, hang on a minute. Isn't that half the fun?
They're kind of like tap shoes, honestly.
So do you know how to tap dance though?
Yes, I do.
That I'm not gonna lie. Do you have a lot of stuff on this list in front of me that you do? I'm super impressed by people. That's so cool. I love watching people tap dance.
I haven't done it in a very long time, although I was thinking about picking it back up. Recently, we'll see.
Let's make it a comeback.
Yeah,
clogging. I mean, it's people.
Oh, clogging.
The hipsters. The kids are asking for clogs now. That's the number one thing on the Christmas list.
I thought it was like a big, like nerdy thing, but you know.
No, you're right. It still is. So how did you get a clog? Were you a clogging family?
My mom actually taught it. I don't even know how she got into it.
Cool.
But we had like a group in our small town of cloggers, and my mom learned it, and then she started teaching all the little kids and. I kind of grew up doing like I was 2 years old trying to clog, you know, and she'd take me to her classes because she didn't really want to get a babysitter or whatever. And I'd end up like trying to dance with them. And I was at the time they didn't really have any kids groups. So I was like with the adults, like this, you know, couple feet tall little girl trying to dance with the adults.
Well, it's a good thing that they let you in because I don't know if you know how many stories I've heard about kids that wanted to clog early. They had to learn it from the streets. Parents, if your kids show an interest in clogging, you let them clog with you. You do not let them learn about clogging in the streets. You hear about people that do that stuff, but you don't think there are families that actually do that. Like my family, I don't know, my mom made a mean cherry pie, but she didn't know how to clog dance. Yeah. that's awesome. So were you a good student in school?
Oh, yeah. I was a very good student. Did not get into trouble at all. I became kind of a theater geek in high school. I chopped my hair off in high school, too. I had very short hair.
How short is very short? I'm cutting my daughter's hair tonight. I'm shaving the sides of it for her.
It was probably a couple inches
on the top. Oh, a pixie cut, as they call that, I think. The kids do.
It wasn't as cool as a pixie cut would be today, though. So
no?
It was, you know.
Was one of those bad hair decisions?
Early 2000s style.
Oh, okay. All right. I can dig that. All right. Yeah. Okay.
But I think that actually, in the end, kind of helped bring me a little more confidence because people kept talking to me about it, you know, because I had probably the length I have now, which is past my shoulders, and then I cut it all off. So a lot of people noticed and started talking to me, and I think that kind of helped me socialize. And I was on the forensics team. So
is it like CSI stuff? Are you like,
no.
It's
like speech team.
Okay, that doesn't sound nearly as cool as it should.
I don't know why they call it that, but they do.
Yeah. That would be, you know how much more cool that would be if like you guys go into a crime scene and they know what happened, but you got to figure out what happened and whichever team's able to figure it out is the one that wins. I'd be all over the forensics team in high school.
That would be amazing.
So cool. So I'm guessing since you were smart, did you go to college?
I did. I went to Beloit College.
What did you study?
I studied theater and communications, and I do nothing with theater. and I think I while I was in college, I kind of decided to change what I wanted to do. I went in all gung-ho about theater, and then I just I think my professor wasn't really I kind of butted heads with him a little bit. He wasn't really open to interpretation on certain things. And and then in the end, I was kind of like, do I really like this idea of like having to try out for a job all the time and, you know, like very high probability of being rejected all of the time? Like, that's kind of not fun. And also, it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of rehearsal going into it. I've considered going back into theater for like community theater, but it's like every night rehearsal. And I'm like, that's a lot. That's a big commitment.
I don't understand how you're able to memorize all those lines. Like, I forget stuff all the time. If I was to do a play about Chappelle's show, I could do that, you know, in quotes from that show. But other than that, I have no idea how people are able to memorize stuff.
A lot of practice.
You just read it over and over and over
again? Yeah, and, you know, you rehearse with the other people and kind of know what your cues are. It's been a really long time since I've done theater, though, so I guess I don't know if that's how people do it. So.
Now, when I do stand-up comedy occasionally, it's more difficult now because of my hand tattoos, but I'll occasionally write the names of my jokes on my hands. Have you ever had to, like, write lines on your hands?
No, I don't think I did. I definitely have that issue with performing, though. I always have to have a set list when I'm performing music. Even if I don't follow that set list, I have to know what songs I know, because I will completely forget like what songs I've written. Like, there's been times if I don't have a set list, I'll get off stage and be like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot to play this other song that I wrote. I just just didn't dawn on me that I had that song when I was on stage. So I get what you're saying with that. Yeah. I have to have like, even if I don't follow the list completely, I just have to have like a list of everything I know in front of me.
Yes, if I was doing theater, I'd have to do stuff without. I couldn't do Shakespeare with them long sleeves. I'd have to be able to look at my arms. I have words written everywhere. Like, he's heavily tattooed. No, that's the script that he's got written on him. So did you graduate college?
I did.
Congratulations. That's Thank awesome. You. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that did not.
Yeah,
they found beer and fell in love with it.
Yeah.
You know? So what did you do after college?
I had an internship in California right after graduation. I was interning at Breathe California in San Jose, and it was really fun. And I was also working part-time at a theater doing like inside sales, so basically a glorified telemarketer.
Were like cold calling people?
Not quite cold call. It was like people who had recently or previously subscribed to their season and trying to call them during their dinner time. It was a nighttime job to see if they would like to resubscribe to the theater season. But I got to see a couple shows for free, so that was nice. And then I came back to Wisconsin, and I lived with my friend in Beloit, who is still in school, for a year. And it was the most depressing year of my life because the city of Beloit is not the best.
I don't want to say anything
bad about
it. I
love the college. I don't know. Have you ever been to Blake College? It's
no,
like a mini Ivy League school. It's really. It's a really highly regarded school, liberal arts college. People from all over the country and world go there, and it's just like 3 or 4 blocks wide, though. So it's like a teeny little bubble inside of Beloit. So there's this huge like difference between the college and the city. And I was living in the city the year after I graduated, and it was pretty miserable for me. So I eventually moved up to Madison, and I haven't left since.
Oh, nice. Yes. Love some men.
I've been here for 11 years now. And I've had various jobs of different fields. I started off like just doing like office work stuff, and I stayed there a little too long, I think. I got a little comfortable, and it wasn't really my jam. But
health insurance will do that to a person.
Yeah,
health insurance
really will
make you comfortable real quick.
It really will.
Yeah, I got some dental coverage over here. Ooh, man, you know what? I could do this for a little while, maybe. At least I get this filling taken care of.
Yeah, and, you know, I was accounts receivable clerk at a construction company.
So were you doing any music or any theater or anything during any of this time?
Not during that job, really.
Really?
And I was, yeah, it was, maybe that was the most depressing part of my life. I don't know. But I wasn't doing like what I really love to do. And I was there for 4 years. I have no idea. Like right now, like the person I am right now, I'm like, I can't even sit. I have a pretty big office where I work now. And I can't even sit in there for like an hour. So I'm like, how did I sit in a cubicle for 4 years? I have no idea. But and then I went through like a big breakup. That was pretty much the same duration of that job. And that kind of kickstarted my songwriting. I was kind of starting to play a little bit. I was always hesitant on guitar. A lot of drama backstory about that, I guess. But I had in college, I was dating a guy who had been playing guitar since he was 3.
Wow.
And so he was obviously very good, but he was not very good in helping me learn guitar. He was kind of condescending about my lack of skill. So that kind of really made me not want to play. So I put it down for a long time. And then I was like, you know, I should probably give this a go. And after that, another big breakup I had, I just kind of picked up my guitar and I was trying out a little things here and there, but then I like wrote a breakup song and it kind of spurred me into getting into the songwriting thing a little more. I was still afraid to play in front of anyone. I wasn't afraid to sing, but I was afraid to play because I was like, I'm no good at guitar. And then see this all, as I said, this all flows together.
I'm loving this.
After that dead end job, I got a job in hospice as a volunteer coordinator, and they learned that I was a musician, and they decided that they were going to have me kind of market their company by playing at senior facilities. So I started playing guitar and singing for like this elderly crowd, and that's the most forgiving crowd ever. and that actually got me better at guitar because I was performing in front of people and I was getting more confident being able to perform. So I actually kind of credit being able to perform in front of people to the elderly.
So, I mean, I imagine they're happy for someone visiting. I'm happy to see a performance.
Yep.
You know, I mean, happy to have to some good company. That's really sweet.
Yeah. So. And I still do it all the time now, too. And I work at a memory care facility now. So I have a very special place in my heart for the elderly population. And so I got elderly fans before, like, my peer group for fans.
Usually, like, when you're starting off, like, what's your demographic? Well, right now, the demographic is about 65 to 90. It's really, really in the wheelhouse. It really is digging what I'm doing right
now. Yeah. I actually have my oldest fan is probably 99 right now. So
there's not a lot of people that can say that.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, so I that really got me going, and I went out. Eventually, I took a job in another, I don't know why, I took another office job eventually.
Health insurance.
Yeah, that's really why.
That's
honestly.
Okay. There's no
I really
shame
missed
in that.
That. Yeah. But, but I really miss coming back to the elderly population, so I ended up going again to do an activity director at an assisted living, and that was really fun. And now I am a dementia care specialist at a memory care facility, and it's just something that I'm very passionate about, and I get to help people one-on-one with any problems that they're having and train staff and do community outreach and just kind of try to build like a specialized program for the people that live there.
So are you working with doctors? Are you working with patients? Are you working with all of them? What is your like your function? Are you bringing people together? What is it that you're facilitating?
So it's at a residential facility.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of people that live there. I don't even know the number right now, but it's probably like between 50 and 60 people live there. And most of them have dementia. Some form of dementia. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that come with that. And I've learned a lot about it over the years, and it's something that I'm very passionate about helping people with. So I kind of just work with the people that live there to see if they're having any problems with anything. I try to figure out what I can do to help them and then try to show staff what they can do, and it makes everybody's day better.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and then engaging people and kind of finding out what their personal history is, because there's some things that you can bring up from their past that can really help them as well, especially music. So, I do something with music every day at work.
Wow.
We just had somebody move in last week that's a piano player, and we already had a gentleman that plays guitar and sings and yodels.
Oh, you got a jam band now.
So, yeah, I got them together, and we had a little jam session last week, yeah. And it was awesome.
That's great.
And then they were, talking for, half an hour, too. So I think that made my heart very happy.
You know, but that's probably got to be the highlight of their day. You know, you got folks that are older. Maybe they don't have family. They can come visit them all the time. And, you know, a lot of their friends may not be around no more. And to make new friends and have someone that cares about them. That's awesome to see people doing that. Because, honestly, I'm going to be an old guy someday. And so I hope there continue to be good people like you out there. Because I'm going to need somebody to take care of me. I'm going to need a lot of help at some point. So I'm looking forward to really nice people like you being around. And, heck, they could have sooner than later. I'm not, not really sure. But I do have a question. And what is or is there a difference between dementia and Alzheimer's?
Yes, that's actually a really good question. I didn't know it at first either. Dementia is actually a set of symptoms that someone can have. So it can be memory loss, confusion, loss of orientation, things like that. And Alzheimer's is a disease that has some of those symptoms. So there's many diseases with dementia symptoms. So there's Parkinson's, Huntington's, Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is the most common disease that has dementia symptoms. So a lot of times people use it interchangeably. Sometimes I do. I might have already. I don't know. As being a dementia care specialist, I work with all the different diseases that have the dementia symptoms. So does that make sense?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Are there signs for younger people? Is there a spectrum? Could I be on it? Because I think I might be on a dementia spectrum already. you named three things that I have problems with: memory loss, confusion, and then I don't know what the third one was because I forgot. Disorientation. I spent a good majority of my day involved heavily in all three of those.
Here's a good test. Okay. So do you lose your keys a lot?
No, I don't. I put them always in the same spot in the bowl.
Well, that's good. Okay. Sometimes people will say, I always forget where I put my keys.
My wife does.
And they worry about that, and they think, if it's in my family, am I going to start, is this a sign? They say that if you lose your keys, that's just forgetfulness. That's normal.
Okay.
If you put your keys in the freezer.
I have, however, put a remote control in the fridge, but I may have been drunk at the time. May or may not.
And honestly, sometimes, this might be horrible to say, but sometimes dementia, people who have dementia, sometimes it seems like they're drunk, just in the way that they
absolutely,
ask.
Absolutely, yeah.
So just because the loss of orientation and all that stuff, and I'm like, man, it's dealing with drunk people sometimes.
Yeah, it's a very serious thing, but there are cute moments to it. Cute moments in anything, yeah. So now Alzheimer's is close to you because you have a family member.
Yeah, so, I can even go back further from what I already told you. So my grandma had it. That was probably 13 to 15 years ago. She passed away from Alzheimer's, and I didn't know. I was really young, and I didn't know. Well, not really young, but I didn't really know what it was all about. And I just remember seeing hospice come in, and she couldn't do anything for herself. By the end of it, so she couldn't even turn over in bed, and that was really crazy to see. But now, unfortunately, my mom has it, and she was diagnosed 6 years ago.
How old is your mom?
She's 74.
To your mom. No, I'm not supposed to ask a lady her age.
People ask me that all the time.
Sure, she looks wonderful.
But she was in her 60s when she was diagnosed. I was in my 20s, and it was kind of crazy because you never really think of having to care for your parents when you're this young, And I already kind of had a suspicion of it because at the time I was working in hospice when she was diagnosed. And that's really what made me become very passionate about the disease. So I started looking up everything I could about it and going to conferences and getting all these trainings and things like that. And just working with people that had it and kind of learning more about how to interact with people that have it, and now I try to educate other people on that too.
So. Now, is it genetic?
So I'm at a higher risk to get it, but it's not a, I think there's a certain kind of like the early onset. So like the really early onset. So people who are getting them in their 40s and 50s, that's a lot more rare. Those people, sometimes it is genetic and they can actually like see I can't even think of the word.
Signs.
Yeah. They can see they can pinpoint the gene, whatever. I can't even think of the word, but they can pinpoint what it is that is causing it. And then you can get tested to see if you have it.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone has seen or read Still Alice, that's the kind I'm talking about. Have you seen or read Still Alice? It's a wonderful book and movie. Julianne Moore starred in it. She won an Oscar.
Love Julianne Moore.
And it's, that one is specific to like a genetic Alzheimer's. Anybody who has a brain can have Alzheimer's, though, is at risk to get it. And I think it's 1 in 3 seniors get it nowadays.
Wow.
It's really prevalent, and it's getting worse. So,
is there an age where it typically, where it typically starts? Is there a guarantee? Like, if you get to 100, is it looking like you're probably just going to have Alzheimer's?
If you get to 100 and you don't already have it, that's pretty awesome, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
There's not an age. You know, my grandma was in her 80s and my mom was in her 60s, you know, when they got it. So I'm hoping that trend does not continue in my family.
Do you worry about that?
Oh, yeah, I do. A few weeks ago, I was playing music and I completely forgot the words of a song I was playing while I was on stage. I just blanked.
Oh, no.
And it freaked me out. And it was Leaving on a Jet Plane. Everyone knows that song. And I'm everyone knew that I messed up. But that happened a couple times in a row, like of different shows. So, and then like I was like doing things where like I double booked myself, which I never do. And stuff like that happened twice in the past month.
Now you got me worried. I do that all the time.
Honestly, I think I was really busy and stressed out at the time, and I think that that's what it was. But the only thing I can do for myself right now is, which I need to get on, is kind of get a baseline test to see where I'm at now, and then in 10 years I can get another test and see if it's changed. I can't even be studied as a child of somebody with Alzheimer's because I have to be 45 to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I ask them every single year, can I do this? And they're like, nope.
Just take a look. Take a peek. Just grab a smidge of DNA. Grab a microscope. Just take a little look. What's home? Take a look.
So, yeah. I think that that's crazy because I think the youngest case of Alzheimer's is like in their 30s, which is nuts. Like people just think of it as like the old person disease.
Yeah.
And I know so many, there's so many people my age that I've met since my mom has been diagnosed in Madison that are going through the exact same thing as me. And they're my age and their parents are close to my parents, even younger than my parents, because my parents had me a little later in life.
Yeah, so far my family, all of us have dodged the Alzheimer's and dementia because we've all died too early of cancer and heart disease. Ugh. So that's how our family genetically has been able to weed that out.
You have to pick your poison.
That's exactly right. And our poison is tobacco and alcohol and fatty foods. So and the diabetes, a lot of sweet blood running through there.
So yeah, I mean, I do a lot for advocacy, and you know, I try to spread the word. I do a benefit concert every year in September. We have different musical performances, and we have a silent auction, and we have a raffle. And something cool that I started last year with the silent auction was that where I work, they actually have an art program. So a lot of the residents every week are taking art classes, like art, and it's really cool. It's like very therapeutic and everything for them. But a lot of them donated their paintings to our silent auction. So people can purchase paintings made by somebody with Alzheimer's or, you know, whatever else people have that live at my facility.
So what kind of style of music would you say that you play?
Oh, that's such a hard question for me. I call myself a singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's really a genre, though. I play acoustic guitar usually, some ukulele, a little piano every once in a while.
I'd love to learn how to play a ukulele.
You should. It's actually one of the easiest instruments to
learn.
Is it real?
There's only like, what, four strings on
there,
right?
There's four strings and they're plastic.
Man, that's
and you can have like the C chord is one finger on one string, and
so
that's it.
Is there like a Beethoven of the ukulele, like that you like look up to, like he's a Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele.
I don't follow anybody really that play ukulele, but I have seen some crazy videos on YouTube of some guy like shredding it on ukulele.
He's playing, playing Motorhead speed metal. Right. Ace of Spades going on that uke.
My ukulele actually looks pretty metal itself. It's like a triangle. It looks like a flying V.
Oh, you got an ukulele. Axe.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I was told by the guitarist of Lords of the Trident, the former guitarist, that it's the most metal-looking ukulele he's ever seen. And I'm like, yes.
Well, I got to say, if a guitar is an axe, it would be a hatchet. Yeah. Just shred on that hatchet, man. So, how many albums have you recorded?
I have two EPs.
Two? What's an EP? Even though I work in radio, I'm going to make you explain that.
It just means it's shorter.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I think the requirement is a certain amount of minutes, like 25 minutes or less or something like that. The one in your right hand, that's my first one. It's called Imaginary Girl. That one I did have a professional photographer for, but I designed the words and everything on it. And the other one you have actually cell phone pictures. That's my newer one.
Cell phones are so amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, and then I designed it in Photoshop. But yeah, I got them printed at Super Duper. They're awesome.
Where's this bridge at? This train bridge.
That is in New Glarus. Yeah, the
tunnel. Want to hear something so funny?
Yes.
I lived, and I kid you not, 500 feet from this train bridge.
Really?
My mom owned a house. You go up top of the hill. There's a house right on top of the hill. We lived there for a number of years.
When we took those pictures, we might have parked by that house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's an awesome train bridge.
I don't know
bridge.
If I'm supposed to park here.
We used to go there. We used to go there at nighttime when we were teenagers. Smoking the reefer.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's the longest tunnel and darkest tunnel or something in Wisconsin.
It is very dark. My daughter and I went on a bike ride. It's a bike trail.
Yeah.
You can go through there. Yeah. We went on there one time. We didn't have flashlights. And I was like, just stay with me and we're good. And she was little at the time. She was like five. And then
bats in there too. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Darn right there are. Yeah, that's why I don't want any lights. I was not comfortable with being in there. She crashed her bike.
Oh my gosh.
I had to turn around and I didn't have a cell phone at the time with a light on it because those things didn't, a phone, but you didn't have a light. So I turned around, found her, and then I had to figure out which side would be shorter to because it's got a little bend in it. When you're in the middle, you can't really see the light at either end.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to pick a side and carry her and the bike out and then go back in and get my bike. It was a disaster. It was not good times. Yeah. So you're a singer-songwriter and you do the acoustic. How many nights a week do you perform?
Do I perform? Oh, it depends. I mean, I guess when I'm in a busier time, sometimes like two or three times a week. Depends, though. Like, this week I'm performing on Friday, and I didn't perform last week, but I performed a couple times the week before, so stuff like that. So,
okay.
I try to do as much as I can for performing, but
now, how did you get into radio? Because you are the co-host of, been a staple in the metal scene for a while, formerly on Max Inc. Radio, now on WSUM, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, UW Radio. The Jimmy K Show with Jimmy and E. I Suck Dub. No, it's called E. Dub. He's a good guy. How'd you get involved with those couple of knuckle faces?
Oh, yeah, I know. They are knuckle faces.
Yeah. At best.
Just being involved in a lot of organizations and my music and all that stuff, they had me as a guest on their show a lot of times for different reasons. And then one day, Edub was out of town, so Jimmy asked. I used to do radio in college, and Jimmy asked me if I could be a guest co-host for the day. So I was like, sure, okay. And then they couldn't get rid of me after that, I guess. I don't know. they were just like, you should stay. And then I eventually developed a segment on the show called The Fierce Female Feature, where I interview
the Fierce Female Feature, correct?
Yes. So I interview different women in the scene of music or entertainment. I've had, I think, three comedians on and a filmmaker, and I've had different musicians, obviously. And we just talk about what they're doing. I think that that's what the show was lacking before, kind of a female touch. So
yeah, I'm happy to
bring it.
Yes, yeah. A little too much masculinity over there with those guys.
A little too much men and masculine and metal and all that stuff. I mean, I like the metal and everything too, but I kind of brought some new genres and new new perspective, I think.
Heck yeah, that's really cool. So yeah. Now, did you know, is radio, is that something you've always enjoyed doing, or is that something I studied a little bit of communications, it's a microphone.
I was a station manager at my college station.
Oh.
But I hadn't really done much since college, and I don't know. I liked it, but I'm not. My sister actually had a job as a she was a DJ for a while, and then also a local news reporter on the radio in Janesville, but I never did it professionally, I suppose.
Okay.
But it's fun. I like it.
It is, I will agree. It is a lot of fun. And my first introduction into radio was on the Jimmy Kay Show.
Yeah.
And I used to love it because they don't have an FCC. They now do.
Now
they
we
didn't,
do.
But they
yeah.
didn't before.
I know.
And my favorite thing about going on that show was just going on there and just trying to derail them as much as possible and just say the most ridiculous and offensive things that I could think of. And dang it, if I didn't have so much fun.
It was very much fun. And we have fun now, too. It's just
absolutely
a little more G-rated fun,
yeah, no,
I suppose.
And I think that's great because, you know, they're on the internet for a while, you mm-hmm. know, but to be able to have on the college station, I think that's mm-hmm. really cool. And that's a great step up to have the show on there.
Yeah, and we've done a lot since we just started on WSUM in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I got us connected with the mamas because I'm very overly involved in the mamas, I like to say.
So you were going to get to that in a second here as well.
But I was able to connect WSUM with the mamas. So now they're sponsoring each other during mama season.
That's great.
So we got to present on stage at the mamas, which was a lot of fun. And
did you mess up like the winner is? You know, oh, no, actually.
No.
You got it right? Okay, good.
We got it right.
So what are the mamas for those who don't know?
So it stands for Madison Area Music Association, and then when people talk about winning at the Mamas, they mean the Mamas Award Show.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a charitable organization that helps fund programs for kids in the area for music. So if a school needs some music instruments or something, they can apply for a grant from the Mamas to get those instruments.
Great.
I don't even remember the numbers, but they've raised so much money. This is their 15th year doing it, and they've helped so many kids. And they, for the award show, it's basically like the local Grammys. So they have all these people that are up for awards. You get to dress up, go on the red carpet, get interviewed, all that stuff. And then they have performances throughout the award show, too. So they always include like youth performers, as well as this year we had Skylar Grey. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah, which, okay, she was on SNL.
Yeah,
one
she
day.
Was on SNL. And then she was, and she performed at the Grammys last
year. Yeah.
I'm like, she's moving on up to the mamas now.
Well, so I saw that she was on SNL, and then I went, oh, and I looked her up. I like her voice. I looked her up, and I went, holy crap, she's from Mazo.
Yep.
And then I said, I went on Facebook, but do you guys realize that, like, there was someone from Mazo
mm-hmm.
who was on SNL last night?
Yep.
With Eminem? Like, you guys get that? And they're like, yeah, we know her. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, that's freaking cool. Heck yeah, that's neat.
So she was there. Butch Vig came to present an award.
Nice.
And which makes me very excited. My favorite band is the Foo Fighters, and he produced a couple of their albums, and I get to hang out with him backstage when he comes to the Mamas, so that makes me very excited.
There you go, rubbing elbows there. Here's my EP.
I know, right?
Here's a sticker.
My life goal is to meet Dave Grohl, by the way.
I refer to him as our generation's Beatle.
Yes.
Without a doubt, he 100%. He is our generation's Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's so ridiculously talented.
Yep.
When people see him, I've never seen anyone frown at Dave Grohl.
Right.
I don't think it's even possible. You would look and just automatically that frown would turn upside down. He just got that magical face.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yeah. A little bit of a fan over there. Yeah. So, but
only 20 years. Yeah.
But let's get to humble bragging here, and maybe not so humble because you shouldn't be. You should just brag. You won a mama.
Yeah,
What did you win for?
I won for Alternative Performer of the Year.
That's great.
I don't really know what categorizes alternative, but I thought I'd try it out.
Singer-songwriter apparently does.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, in the past, because you have to nominate yourself, and then there's two rounds of voting, so people have to vote for you and everything. And I had kind of applied for Folk Americana in the past because I'm like, I guess I'm folk. I don't know. But I'm not like, I'm not as folky as some people. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to. I love Bob Dylan, but I'm not like Bob Dylan style, you know, and it's I just couldn't really find a good genre for myself. So I'm like, well, alternative sounds like a good place to go.
Hey, you know, I think it means different.
And then, yeah, so yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so there you go.
So I was up against a couple bands that do not sound like me at all. I was up for a few awards, but I was very surprised that I won anything because I was up against some really great people. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And I won a couple, like 3 years ago, a couple mamas a few years ago. And both this year and when I did it before, it's really helped me with like booking shows and stuff.
Oh, I bet.
So the week after I won the mama this time, I had six people contact me about booking shows. Yeah. Like from bands or venues or whatever.
If someone did want to contact you for booking a show, let's throw a plug in here. How would they contact you?
Well, there's many ways. I have an email that's just my name, KarenWheelock@gmail.com.
And it's spelled like it sounds.
Yes.
But Karen with a K.
Karen with a K.
Because there's Karen with a C, isn't there? No, maybe.
I think there is, but that's not the right way to spell it.
So. Yeah, that looks weird. Never mind. It's just Karen with a K. And then Wheelock spelled like it sounds.
Yes. It's like wheel and lock with one L. That's what
I
tell people.
Nice. There you go. Okay.
And I have a Facebook music page. I think it's just facebook.com/KarenWheelockMusic.
Okay.
And Reverb Nation is how people can hear my music, which is just my name again. So
if we were to play a song on this podcast,
yes.
What song should we play off of one of these? Off of one of these here. Is there one on here that, like, if there's a song that I could get on here, it would be one of these.
I would say, okay, so I guess they always tell you to promote the newer stuff. So I guess from my EP so far, the one that's on the left for
mm-hmm,
you,
mm-hmm.
The song Your Light, I actually just recorded a music video for it. I still have to see the rough cut, but it'll be coming out soon. And it's a slower song, and I am actually finger picking in it, which I hate doing, but I force myself to.
Why do you hate doing it? Does it hurt?
No, I don't feel like I'm very good at it.
I've tried to play guitar before. I'm not going to lie. I got sensitive fingers.
Yeah.
It hurt. Like, I was
fingertips
a little bit.
It does hurt on your left hand, but the finger pickings with your right hand plucking the strings.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't know if it was like a bit more.
I'm actually, I'm weird. I write with my left hand and I do everything else right-handed. So I feel like I don't have the dexterity in my right hand to finger pick as well. But I am getting better, so I just think it takes practice.
And I would assume.
I have to just not tell myself every time I want to play that song that I'm not going to do because then I perform better when I do that. You know,
it's just going to happen.
I don't know what that's about, but but yeah, I think like my hand gets tired from it, or I don't know. I just get in my own head about it.
Carpal tunnel. You need to get one of them bowling wrist guards,
right?
While you're up there. nothing says rock and roll performer than a bowling wrist guard while you're performing. You could change the game on that.
But that song. It's a pretty song, and I actually, what makes it super pretty is my friend Mary played violin on it.
Well, I have a good violin.
And when she first played it, I almost started crying. I was like, you're making my song so pretty. I can't handle it. And then my friend Jenna, who she played a lot of stuff on my new album, actually. She plays every instrument known to mankind. she's amazing. She was dropping some bass on that song, and she did a really great job. It's a slower melody and everything, but yeah, she made it sound really good too. That's a good one, and I sing harmony in that one too with myself.
So are you okay if we play a song?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me.
My heart is in my ears. My stomach when I see
hope you enjoyed some music by Karen Wheelock. We're going to be wrapping up here in a minute, but I have one more question. There's something cool that I found out that you do, and you're wearing the shirt for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because I've got a daughter who I think would just love this, is a rock camp. What is this?
Girls Rock Camp. So it's actually, I think, a national organization, but it's held in a lot of major cities, and Madison has one of these organizations. So basically, it's a day camp for girls ages 8 through 18. And they come in, it's a Monday through Friday camp, and they come in all day and they learn how to play instruments of whatever they want to learn. And then they form little bands. And then,
so cool.
Yeah. And then one of the, what I do is I help coach. I'm a band coach. So I help the bands. That I'm assigned to a specific band with another band coach, and then we help them write a song together as a band. So I think it's pretty awesome because girls aren't always told that it's okay to bang on drums and rock out on electric guitar and bass and, you know, all that stuff. And it's so cute because these girls are holding like full-size instruments that are bigger than them sometimes. You know, I have 9 and 10-year-olds, and like my bassist has this giant bass, and I'm like, how do you even hold that much? And she's really good too. All the girls in my band are awesome. So I'm doing that right now, and we have, at the end of the week on Friday, we go to Paradigm Productions recording studio and we record the song that they wrote together. And then the Sunday after the camp, we have a big performance where they get to perform their song, and they dress up, and their friends and family get to come and cheer for them. And it's so much fun. It's so empowering and positive. And and it's just, I mean, like our guitarist in our band, she knows like 7 or 8 chords. And I was like, I don't think I even touched a guitar when I was 10 years old. Like, just gonna be like, all these girls are gonna be amazing. And it's really cool. And all of the staff are local musicians too. They're all female musicians in Madison.
Well, that's so cool. A lot of girls aren't brought up knowing that they can do these kind of things, because I've got a daughter who loves doing the things that typically girls don't do. You know, she's skateboarding, things like that, and absolutely loves music. And when you told me about that, I was like, man, if we didn't sign her up for 95 other camps this year, we'd have been in Girls Rock Camp for sure.
Do it next year.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Where can people get information about this at?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I'm pretty sure it's like grcmadison.org.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Or you can just Google search Girls Rock Camp if that doesn't work.
Yeah, Google. If here's pretty much the thing. I get in trouble for this all the time at work because I'm like, you said the website wrong. Here's the deal. If you want to find something, just type what they do into Google. Literally type what they do into Google and then a location you want it to be done at, and information will show up. Google is friggin' amazing about that.
Yes, for sure.
I appreciate you coming in and taking some time, and appreciate honestly everything that it is that you do for other people, and making music, and you know, working with kids and working with older. You're working with people of all ages.
You know,
I mean, you're covering the gamut.
I know. And this week when I'm doing Girls Rock Camp, I'm doing half days at work, so I'm literally going from 90-year-olds to 9-year-olds in the same day, and it's really crazy.
Both of them can get just as sassy. Both of them enjoy a juice box.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Jackson's American Tales, Ordinary People with Extraordinary Life Stories. Thank you so much for enjoying another episode of Jackson's American Tales. Well, heck, I shouldn't assume. Maybe you didn't enjoy it, but thank you so much for sticking for the whole 45 or so minutes to listen. Thank you to Karen Wheelock for coming in. Again, if you want to find any of her music, just go to that Google machine, type in Karen Wheelock, Karen with a K, and then Wheelock, spelled like it sounds. She is absolutely amazing and has some really good music out there. Make sure you tune in next week, where our special guest will be me. Yes, I know it sounds self-serving, and I'm not going to lie, it sort of is, but actually got a lot of response from folks as we've been doing this podcast, and people have been asking, hey, Jackson, are you going to tell your story? So we'll be doing that next week. Should be a really fun listen. So as always, thank you so much for listening. Please click like, share, drop a comment on iTunes. Let your friends know about this podcast. Those of you that listen and tell other folks that you enjoy it are kind of how we get the word out. So thank you so much for listening to another episode of Jackson's American Tales.